For being willing to share something that God did during the week. And I appreciate the different perspectives and the different stories. You know, when you look at the way that the Gospels were written, they're all about the same person, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are written from different perspectives. And everybody gave a different perspective of how God used or how God blessed, even shared about some fun things. Everybody that went talked about the food. And so I'm going to have to research that just a little bit more. They all said it was good, but then, you know, some talked about different messages that spoke to their heart or a different perspective on the message or the fun that they had. And Ms. Susie mentioned about the volleyball tournament. I think all that stuff is wonderful. And so thank you all for sharing that. I know I was blessed by that. All right. Well, let us go ahead and go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we got a few things that we want to share with you tonight and pray that we or pray that it'll be a help to you. And different kind of message tonight and something that's important, I believe, in the life of every Christian and for a church in order to move forward. And so I want to just share some things that the Lord's laid on our heart tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 1, and we'll read the first 10 verses for now, or first 10 or 11 verses here, and then we'll continue to read as the evening goes on. 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, And I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord hath called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful again for allowing us to come to your house tonight. We're thankful for the songs. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the praise. And Lord, the testimonies given by those who went to camp, and God, the different things that you did for them this week, and Lord, even the good times that they had, we're thankful for their safety and their protection being back home with us. Lord, we ask you for the next few moments that you give us wisdom, would you give us clarity of thought, that you would help us tonight as we lay down this message that you shared and laid upon our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Fanny Crosby, as you know, was blind. She made a statement that I read one time, and I wrote a note about it, and I want to share it with you tonight. She said, Is there anything worse than being blind? To which she responded, Yes, to have sight and to have no vision. To have sight and to have no vision. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But did you notice, especially the first part of that verse, it says, Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to preach on that thought when the vision is not clear. When the vision is not clear. Did you notice in the first two verses, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. I believe that vision is absolutely essential for every Christian and every church if they intend to move forward. You see, I believe that we can be busy having church and busy having ministry and yet making no progress. Kind of like the same idea of a rocking chair that is on a porch. You're rocking back and forth, and yes, you're making a lot of motion, and yes, you're making a lot of movement, but you're actually not making any progress, right? Now, personally, I enjoy sitting on a rocking chair on the front porch, amen? Not lately because it's been hot, but normally that is something that I enjoy. The other concept is spinning your wheels. How many of you ever been stuck in the mud before? Raise your hand. I've been stuck in the mud several times. I've gotten myself in some tight spots and probably sometimes even on purpose, if I'm being totally honest with you, amen? If you hunt and you get up in the woods and things all that, you get into some spots. But literally, you can be spinning your wheels, consuming energy and burning gasoline, but you're actually not making any progress. And what I'm trying to share with you tonight, church, is that there is a lot of people walking around, even in churches today, that they have sight, but they don't have any vision. They don't have any direction in their life. And it's good to be able to see, but sometimes the vision is simply not clear. And what we're seeing here today, that even though the Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. They had no clear vision of what God actually wanted them to do in their life. And it wasn't because God wasn't supplying the vision. Understand that, friend. You can have a love for the Word of God, but if you're not getting the vision and direction from the Bible, then friend, it's not helping us any. So what we're seeing here tonight is looking at this idea of when the vision is not clear. The first thing I want to share with you, that if you want to have clear vision, and you know, it's a simple concept. I know Brother Kevin has these little reading glasses up here. And I'm not going to put them on because they'll probably hurt my eyes. I do wear contacts. But every once in a while, you know, if you're looking through something like this, you ever get them where they're blurry? Who has glasses? Or wears sunglasses, right? And you ever get them when they're just a little bit dirty and blurry? What do? Now, if these were mine, I'd probably take my tie and I'd do this number, okay? Say, well, what are you doing? I'm trying to clean up the vision a little bit. I'm trying to make it to where I can see through those things a little bit better, because they're not clear. The vision's not clear. And though you may be able to see through them, it may be blurry. And that's what we're kind of focusing on tonight, is the vision is not clear. But in verse number 1, if the vision is not clear, the first thing that will help you, church, is where it says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Number 1 tonight, vision always comes from the word of God. Vision should be based on the Word of God. It helps us, and I like the affection that it says it was precious in those days. I'm afraid we're living in a day today where the Word of God doesn't seem very precious in our culture, in our society tonight. But you know, for the Bible-believing Christian, the Word of God should be precious for us. I mean, it's essentially our guidebook. It's essentially the vision that we had. And I think last week or maybe the week before, we described how we have different perspectives and maybe even some of our own loved ones. But my goal is to try to have my vision through the eyes of God. And I arrive at that place simply through the Word of God. Paul told Timothy to continue down the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, telling him where he could get his vision from. Essentially, Paul was an older pastor teaching a younger pastor how he could get direction. So however you want to classify it tonight, church, whether it's vision, whether it's direction, sometimes people ask for guidance. They really carry the same idea in that really it's direction of what God actually wants for your life. But the number one place, if the vision is not clear, if the vision is a little blurry tonight, is that you need to develop a love for the Word of God. I appreciate in the book of Acts where the Bible talks about the Bereans, and I talk about having a Berean spirit. Do you remember what they did? The Bible says that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. In other words, even though they were being taught the Word of God by the apostles of Jesus Christ, they still searched it out for themselves, because you see, it wasn't just enough for them to hear it. We should always want to search the Scriptures ourselves, because it helps us to get that vision. So we see here, first of all, church, if you're going to have godly vision, it must begin with a love for the Word of God. I hope that you love to read the Bible, friend. I hope that reading the Bible is not a chore. I hope that reading the Bible is not just something that you do out of obligation because you know as a child of God that you should do. Oh, but friend, when you get to the place in your life when you love to study the Bible, when you love to read the Bible, I really believe that God will help you to develop your vision and thus, spiritually speaking, actually make you see things more clearly. So number one, vision comes from the Word of God. Number two, vision comes from church. Vision comes from church. Did you notice there in verse number two? And it came to pass that at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. He started to go lie down, and the Bible says his eyes waxed dim, and he couldn't see. Something was wrong at that moment with his literal vision. Simply, it was getting dark, and he wasn't able to see as good. Now, God, in His infinite wisdom, did design our eyes that if we shut the lights off, things are kind of blurry for just a second. You can't see very clearly, but in just a moment or in just a little bit, your eyes start to adjust for the lack of light and you can actually see a little. Now, you can't see as good when there's light, but your eyes do start to make an adjustment. What we just read and what just happened, Samuel was starting to not be able to see very good because it was literally getting dark. The bigger concern is that at this particular moment was that actually not that he couldn't see physically, but that he couldn't see spiritually. Now you can have 20/20 vision literally and be blind as a bat concerning spiritual things. Just because you can see doesn't mean that you have vision. And that's exactly the point that Fanny Crosby would have made, that it's a sad place to be to have vision and no spiritual wisdom or spiritual knowledge. We're talking about a person who was actually blind, physically speaking, but oh, she had some clear vision, spiritually speaking, and a lot of the gospel hymns that we read were written by her. She had some spiritual vision. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the vision was starting to get dark and starting to get dim and not as clear. Watch what happens in verse number 3. And Ur, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. You see, the Bible says that the lamp of God went out in the temple. Part of the way that you help develop your vision when things get dark is literally in the house of God. This was a step, a progression where Samuel started to get to the place where vision was given to him. There was a lamp in the house of God. And I want to tell you that a church, spiritually speaking, a community, is a lighthouse. Amen? I've drove by here a few times at night or come in when it's still dark. And I love to see those lights on the front of our church because you know what that tells me? There's a light on here. I like to leave that front light on so people can know, hey, this is a church. This is the house of God, and this is a place where you come to get vision, and this is a place where you come to life. Of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other places, he says he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, speaking about Christ. Christ is the light of the world, and this church is a lighthouse in this community. And I'm just trying to help you today, friend. If you need some vision, if it's not been very clear, first of all, it starts with a love for the Word of God. Second of all, it helps to come to church. It helps to be in this place of worship because that helps us to line things up with the Word of God. So we see, first of all, it starts in the Word of God. Vision also comes from being in church, but then also vision is confirmed with godly counsel. Did you notice as Samuel started to hear the Lord call him? You know what I've seen happen a lot of times, church, is that people come to the house of God and they have no clue why they're here. And I believe that spiritually speaking, that God's actually calling them to come to the house of God to hear something, and they need some clarity in their life. They don't completely even understand what they're looking for. They just know that they're missing something in their life and they're looking for something. I believe that God does that to people. I've literally had people come to church and say, Pastor, I'm here, and I know there's some things I need in my life, and I'm not really sure what I need. Of course, the answer is they need the Lord Jesus Christ. in their life. And the very first thing that we want to do before we even give them a food box, before we give them anything else, is to make sure that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That comes with godly counsel. So vision is often confirmed with godly counsel. So when Samuel was hearing God call him, we see this happen three times. And on the third time, the Bible says that Eli perceived that the Lord was calling him. And that's when he gave him some godly counsel. He said to him in verse 9, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Godly counsel helped Samuel get the vision and the direction from the Lord. God was calling him, and that's what godly counsel does. So we're looking at three things so far that'll help us when the vision is not clear. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the house of God. Number three, counsel from a godly person. Now, the reason I say godly person is because you can get the wrong kind of counsel that is not godly counsel, that is not spiritual counsel, and lead you in a whole different direction. But here, thankfully, Samuel got godly counsel from Eli, and he said, "Hey, listen, I believe the Lord's trying to do something in your life. I believe that's God's calling you, and when God calls you, respond." It's really no different when I describe those people that come to the house of God, and they say, "Pastor, I'm here, and I don't really know why I'm here. I need something. I'm missing something." Really, it's no different to say, "I believe that the Lord is tugging at your heart. I believe God is calling you. I believe God's trying to do something in your life. Let me show you what the Bible says about being saved." It's no different. Eli gave him God a counsel. So vision comes from the Word of God. Vision comes from church. Vision is confirmed with counsel. And then number four, vision is commanded by God. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have vision. The text, part of the text that we read in Proverbs 20:19, where there's no vision, the people perish. Do you realize that you will start to die, spiritually speaking, if you don't have vision, if you don't have direction, if you don't know where you're going? And one of the most dangerous places to be is just kind of coasting through life. Just wherever the wind blows, whatever happens, happens, and you just deal with it as it goes. But friend, we need to have a clear vision of what God wants us to do in our life, what our purpose is, what our calling is. And spiritually speaking, again, when we don't have a clear vision of God's will for our life, we will start to die, spiritually speaking. Now, you might be successful in other areas in life, and that's good. You might be good and talented. You might have a lot of ability, and that's all great. But remember, we're talking about spiritual vision, not literal vision or literal things tonight. But you see, in verse number 11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Do you see what's starting to happen here, church? God is literally giving Samuel a vision. He's saying, "I'm going to do something in Israel. I'm going to do something in Israel." That phrase, "I will do," is a future tense. That's something that is going to happen. Okay? If I say, "Come Saturday morning, men, and we will cook breakfast," I'm talking about a future event. And you may not realize it, but essentially I gave you a little bit of an insight or vision on what we plan to do, Lord willing, Saturday morning. So when God says, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel," He has given Samuel insight of what He's planning on doing. And I want to tell you something, friend. I can tell you, as sure as God has saved my soul, that God has laid some vision on my heart for this church. God has laid a vision in my heart of some things that He wants to do. The fact that there's people in this community dying without Christ. The fact that there's people that need to be reached and doors that need to be knocked and people that need to be loved on and cared for. And that God wants to do something special through this church and through the people in this church. I'm just thankful to be a part of it, friend. Amen. I'm thankful just to have a little part of being here and watching the marvelous works of what God is going to do. Hey, friend, don't let it be any question in your mind. We can talk about logistics. We can talk about location and all that. I'm here because God has called us to be here, and God laid a vision on my heart 30,000 feet up in the air on the way flying back from Mesa, Arizona, back to Cincinnati, Ohio. God put a vision in my heart 30,000 feet up in the air. There's no doubt in my mind that it came from the Lord. He said, and behold, I want to do a thing at Florence Baptist Church. And I need somebody to go. And I need somebody to be willing to love on people and care on people. And I need somebody to be willing to be okay with going to a prison town. And I need somebody to be willing to say it doesn't have to be a big town and it doesn't have to be the biggest building and the biggest facilities. I just need a man to stand in the gap. And I want to know tonight, friend, are you willing to go along with that? Are you willing to be a part of what God is trying to do here? Because I'm telling you, friend, God has laid a vision on my heart just like He did to Samuel when He said, I want to do a thing in Israel. God has told us that He wants to do a thing here at Florence Baptist Church. Amen. You talk about comfort zone. Sister Nancy, thank you for that testimony. Sister, that was a blessing. That helped. That's encouraging. Let me say something real quick, church. When you step out of your comfort zone, you are literally stepping into God's comfort zone. And by the way, that makes God more comfortable, because now what you've done is you said, Lord, I'm not comfortable with this, but I'm going to take a step of faith and step over here where you want me to be. Now God's comfortable because you're uncomfortable, meaning that you are depending on God and trusting Him. That doesn't mean that you have it all worked out in your mind. That doesn't mean you have all the answers. Most of you knew that we came and didn't even have a place to live. Didn't know where we were going to live. You know that to be a true story. We had a house, had a car, fell through. Plans fell through. I don't know why. God had a plan. God had a purpose. I thought this is what God wants. No, that fell through. But hey, guess what? We came anyway. Reminded me a little bit of Abraham and said, why don't you go to a place that I'll tell you of. I want you to pack up your family and move to a house in Arizona. Which one, Lord? I haven't told you that yet. Why don't you just get up and go? And literally on the journey here, we got confirmation. But you know what I appreciate? My family was willing to just go on and go anyway. We didn't know where we were going to be. We didn't know how it's all going to work out. We didn't know where we were going to stay. But God had a plan. And God took care of our family. And God's protected our family. You see, friend, that's what happens when you say, Lord, I can't see it, but you can. So I'm going to answer your call. So getting back to our thought, friend, God commands us to have vision, which is also a step of faith. And the Bible literally says without faith it is impossible to please Him. In other words, if you can't get to the place in your life where you say, because I don't have the answers, I don't want to be a part of it. If you don't have enough faith in your life to say, Lord, I can't see it, but I know you can, then the Bible literally says it's impossible to please God. Because if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to be willing to step out on faith. You're going to have to be willing to say, I don't always understand the vision, but I know God does. I can't always see it, but God can. So we're looking at tonight, church. God told Samuel, I will do a thing in Israel. And I believe with all my heart that God is doing a thing in our church. Look at the people that's already been saved. Look at the people that's already come back to church. Look at the people that's already joined the church. That's not me. That's not you. That's God. That's the Lord working. And I believe, to take that a step further, God wants to do a thing in your life. Not just in this church, friend. God's trying to do a thing in your life. We're seeing tonight that when the vision's not clear, vision comes from the Word of God, vision comes from the church, vision is confirmed with godly counsel, vision is commanded by God, but then vision also involves cleansing. Did you realize that? Vision also involves cleansing. Now, I mentioned and illustrated just a second ago how you might take your glasses and you literally have to clean them so that you can see better. It's really not any different in our lives. You ever get something in your eye, what do? You rub it out. You ever have to flush something out of your eye? It's because something is distracting your vision. Something has made your eyes blurry. You have to clean them. And friend, maybe you're here tonight and you can't see the vision of God in your life. Listen real close, friend. Listen real close. Maybe it's because there's some cleaning up that needs to happen in your life, friend. Maybe there's some things that need to be cleaned up in your life before you can see the vision of God. Before you can see the will of God in your life. I don't know what it is, friend. I'm not God. I'm just telling you from what I'm reading in the Scriptures here. You see, let's read on what happens here. In verse number 13, for I have told him that I would judge. Let me back up. I don't want to miss this. Back up in verse number 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That's pretty bold words coming from the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to do something. It's going to make people tingle. In other words, make them a little uncomfortable. For the record, that's what Bible preaching and teaching does sometimes. Amen. You do realize that part of the job of the church, you know, the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. It says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Everybody wants to come and get that exhorting part, but nobody wants to be reproved. And nobody wants to be rebuked. But yet that is part of biblical teaching and preaching. And God said, hey, guess what? I'm going to lay out a vision, and it's going to make some people feel uncomfortable. Remember what we said about being uncomfortable? When you step out of your comfort zone and step into God's comfort zone, now you're talking about the power of God in your life. Let's read on. He says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. I want you to understand that Eli was a priest in the temple of God, but it doesn't mean that he had his house in order. God is literally talking about some things here in his house. His house was not in order. And in verse number 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever. For the iniquity is another word for sin, which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever. God is literally saying, hey, judgment is coming to the house of Eli. He's got some vile sons, and what's worse, Eli has done nothing about it. And because of that, there's some purging and some cleaning up that has to happen. So what God is literally revealing to Samuel is that I'm trying to do something in Israel. But before that happens, there's got to be some cleaning up. And God wants to do something in your life. He said, I will do a thing in Israel. And I believe that principle applies for our church and it applies to you. But oftentimes before God allows that to happen, there's some cleaning up that has to be done. Are you with me, church? Are you willing to submit to God's bathing, if you want to call it that way, in your life? I remember when my children were little, sometimes they don't want to be bathed. And they didn't like it. And they don't like to be put in the bathtub and have water splash all over. And sometimes they would squall and sometimes they would cry, but mom and dad knows that they needed to be cleaned up every now and then. You know, they spit up milk, spit it on you sometimes. Who's been there before? Sometimes they have accidents, and we'll just leave them at that and let you paint the picture on your own, because I'm not going to do that. But they have accidents, and guess what? They need to be cleaned up. If you don't clean them up, they literally get rashes and they get dirty, and it's not a good situation. So in order to care for our children, we had to clean them up every now and then. You do realize one of the ways that God shows he cares about you is he does some cleansing in your life. He does some purging in your life. He says, you know what? I got to change some things in your life. I got to do some things in your life. And let me remind you, friend, of an important principle. You realize that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Do you realize that? The same old habits produce the same old results. Let me say it again. Same old habits produce the same old results. And you look at your life and you look at your family, you look at your church and say, how come things are not improving? Have you ever considered the fact that maybe there's some things that you need to clean up? Maybe there's some things that you need to change? And the same old habits are simply producing the same old results. But yet, when we submit our lives to God, say, Lord, clean me up. As the psalmist said, purge me with hyssop. It's a symbolic picture of God cleansing our heart and cleansing our lives. And sometimes God has to come in there and say, you know what? This has got to go. We got to remove this out of your life. It's blurring your vision. You know what? You're missing this. We need to add this. We need to clean this up. You need to improve this area in your life. You see, if you want to have godly vision, then that's what you allow Him to do. If you're not concerned about having vision, then you're going to continue on the same path that you're on now, doing the same old thing and getting no different results. If the vision's not clear, we need to remember that vision comes from the Word of God, comes from church, comes with godly counsel. We know that vision is commanded by God if we're really going to serve Him. We know that vision involves cleansing. And I'm going to say a couple more things and I'm through, but sometimes vision does come with fear. You know, sometimes vision is blinded by fear. Sometimes vision overwhelms even good Christians. You understand that? I get it. Sometimes you know that maybe God wants to do something in your life, but you're nervous, you're scared, and it's overwhelming. Let me just encourage you, friend, and remind you the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible also says that what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In other words, Lord, I don't know. I'm nervous, I'm scared, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust in You anyway. All I'm saying is that sometimes when God does reveal His vision and what He wants you to do in your life, sometimes it'll scare you, friend. It'll scare you. I remember the first time that God scared me with vision was when He called me to preach. I felt like God said, I want you to preach, and I said, who? And I'm looking behind me. Who, me? No. Not me, Lord. I'm nobody. There was a period in my life where I went through some things, and I saw a lot of my preacher friends, you know, they had daddies that were pastors. They had a pastor who was very involved in their life that really helped them to grow and develop them. And at that time, I didn't really have anybody make that kind of investment in me. I didn't have a godly heritage. I didn't have a long history of a godly family home. And I thought, well, man, I'm not prepared for that kind of thing. Until the Lord said, don't worry about it. Let me be your father. Let me be your influence. Let me be the one to teach you. Let me be the one to guide you. And though I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having a pastor who's a daddy that can help you along the way, I'm just saying that the best counsel, the best direction you can get is from the Lord. That's all I'm saying. I remember even a time in my life, I'm not going to share the name. My goal is not to embarrass somebody. I'm just trying to tell you what the Lord did in my life. But I remember hearing a pastor, when I answered the call to preach, say, well, he's just going through a phase. He'll get over it. Can I give you a secret, church? I'm still not over it. I'm not over it yet. I'm not. But sometimes vision does come with fear. And that goes back to that point that we made about the step of faith. Last thing I want to mention, if you read on here, you know, we mentioned that vision comes with fear, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors in the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Sometimes vision comes with fear. In other words, God revealed to Samuel what He was going to do, and now Samuel was to have to come and show that vision or share that vision with Eli. He was scared. Eli at that time would have been his mentor. And now he has to come and basically tell Eli that judgment's coming to your house. That is a scary situation. I can understand why that would be nerve-wracking. I've been in a position like that before. It's not easy. Let's read on. And then verse number 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is it, this thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me, God, to do so, and more also, if thou hide anything from me and all the things that he had said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He laid out the whole story, told Eli what happened. He was nervous about it, he was scared about it, but you know what I appreciate about it? He was willing to follow through and do what God told him to do. Verse number 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So it's kind of like a cycle. We started off in the beginning of the chapter talking about how we should have a love for the Word of God. That was in the very beginning of the chapter. That was the first thought that we shared with you. We're ending the chapter to tell you that it continues with the Word of God. You don't just need one dose of the Word of God and think that that's enough to carry you through life. Friend, you need a continual dose. You need a continual serving. You need a continual, Miss Melanie called it a feeding, and I like that. Because it is a spiritual feeding of the Word of God. What makes us think that we can come to church one time, hear the gospel message, the Word of God speaks to our hearts, we get saved, praise God. It began, the Bible literally says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it began. Your faith began by literally hearing the Word of God. But what makes you think that that was enough to carry you through life? You need a continuous feeding of the Word of God. And we've cycled back around, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. See, the problem that we have is that one time, a long time ago, the Lord appeared to us, convicted us of our need for salvation. And he hasn't showed back up because we haven't allowed him to do anything in our lives. It's not because he hasn't wanted to, friend. Don't sit there and believe the lie of the devil. Well, God's not trying to do anything. It's not God. God has not changed his position. God has not changed who he is. It's us that often stray away from the Lord. And so when it says he appeared again, that means that Samuel put himself in position to hear the word of God. The Lord would not appear to him again, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So that he appeared again. You know what we need? We need a continual appearance from God in our lives, and we get that by continuing in the word. Same thing we said earlier, Paul told Timothy to continue. Well, friend, if you want to have godly vision tonight, we've shared some things tonight that I hope that will be a help to you. But don't be a person who walks around having sight and no vision. Because God has a plan and a purpose in your life. Say, God doesn't have that for me. Yes, he does. The fact that you're still here breathing, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care how long you've been in church or how long you've not been in church. The fact that you're still here breathing tonight, friend, is proof from the Lord that God still wants to do something in your life. And if I could leave you with one thing, it's just like God pointing his finger in your heart and saying, I want to do a thing in your heart. I want to do a thing in your life. I want to do something special. And then he proceeded to say, but we got some house cleaning to do. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. My son's going to come to the piano. And friend, I don't know what your need is tonight. We were talking a little bit before church, and talking about sometimes people can get themselves in the place where they say, well, that person's saved and that person's not. Friend, I don't know if you're saved or not. Even if you tell me, honestly, I don't really know. That's between you and the Lord. I can see fruit in your life. The Bible does say you shall know them by their fruit. In other words, I can see evidence in your life that would indicate that you are or you're not. But ultimately, I don't know. So what I'm saying, friend, is I don't know what your need is specifically tonight. What I do know is this, is that God's trying to do something in your life. And just like he told Samuel, I will do a thing in Israel. God has shared on my heart and my mind and given a vision that I will do a thing at Florence Baptist Church. But can we be honest with ourselves enough to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there needs to be some house cleaning. Let me caution you about something. oftentimes when we make a statement like that, you'll say, yeah, you're right, preacher. There needs to be some house cleaning done in the church house. Oh, brother so-and-so really needs to do this in their life. Oh, sister so-and-so really needs to give that up in her life. Hey, friend, if you would just be concerned about the house cleaning in your own heart, why don't you let God worry about the house cleaning that needs to be done in their heart and honestly pray for them. If you've seen some things that maybe do need to be cleaned up, why don't you let God do the work? Why don't you let the preaching of the Bible or the teaching of the Word of God do the work, and you just be concerned about where your heart is with the Lord? Because if we're completely honest with ourselves, the house cleaning must begin within ourselves. And there's nobody here tonight that doesn't need to make some improvements in their life, that doesn't need to make a stronger commitment in some area of their life. I don't know whether it's in the matter of prayer. I don't know if it's in the matter of Bible reading. I don't know if it's as a husband, as a wife, as a child of God. I promise you, if you'll submit yourself to the Lord, He'll show you some things that need to be cleaned up. How about you, friend? With every head bowed and every eye closed, who would say, Pastor, would you pray for me a second? Because there's some cleaning up that needs to be done in my heart, in my life. Would you slip up your hand? Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put him down. Anybody else say, Pat, thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Pastor, thank you, I see that hand. You may put him down. Who else? Pastor, there's some things that need to be cleaned up in my life. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I've always made a commitment. I will never come talk to you about it without you want to come talk to me about it. I don't do that. I just want to pray for anybody else. Pastor, I need to clean some. Thank you. I see that hand. I need to clean some things up in my life. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Several hands went up. I sure do appreciate your heart and your humility to say, I know there's some cleaning up that needs to happen in my life, and I'm about to pray for you. But before I do that, I never want to have church and not give somebody an opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Savior. If there's someone here to say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you pray for me, Pastor? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Friend, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is simple. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you tonight, friend, I'm going to pray for you if you'll allow me to do that. Would you slip up your hand and put it back down? Anybody at all? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the truth of the Scriptures tonight. We're thankful for the example of how you laid vision out in Samuel's life, even when he was literally and spiritually blind and couldn't see well. Lord, there was times where even he was scared. Oh, but God, he showed us a good example and followed through anyway. There had to be some cleansing. You had to do some cleaning up. But Lord, you wanted to do something special. God, there's no doubt in my mind that you want to do something special here at Florence Baptist Church. Lord, I am humbled by those that were willing to raise their hands and say, Pastor, pray for me. There's some things in my life I need to clean up. Lord, you know who they are, and you know what needs to be cleaned up in their life. I don't know what it is, and Lord, it's irrelevant. God, you know. I pray that you would make those things clear in their lives, the things that they need to improve on, the things that they need to change. God, help them to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, whatever that need may be, especially those that lifted their hands and asked for prayer, I do want to pray for them. I do want to lift them up before you. You know their heart and you know the need. Lord, we ask you to continue to be with our church as we move forward for your cause and for your glory. Lord, we know that there's obstacles in the way and there'll be challenges and bumps in the road, but Lord, we want to remain focused on you. And Father, I just pray that you help us to continue to grow in grace, help us to be good witnesses for your glory. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, campers, for your testimonies. Yeah. Okay. Huh?
Your mic's still on.
Okay.
Get your speaker on my phone.